afternoon. The time is 2:06. Currently a very nice day, a fall-like day here in central Wisconsin. Temperature stands at 60 degrees at the Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I am Chad Holmes, and welcome to the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230, online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. We got a couple of terrific guests lined up in about 8 minutes or so. At 2:15, we'll be joined by Sean Wright, the Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, as the Grand is getting set for a terrific 2022-2023 season that gets underway in just a couple of weeks' time. So we'll talk to Sean Wright in just a few minutes. And then in the next hour at 3:15, we'll be joined by Nick Ockwig from the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Sports Authority, the Badger State Summer and Winter Games, and talk about some of the great activities going on here in central Wisconsin this coming weekend. So a couple of guests that focus on what is really good about central Wisconsin in terms of the activities and the events that you're able to partake in. And looking forward to having Sean Wright and Nick Ockwig on the program here today. It is Thursday, and I was just out in it. Boy, it's a little chilly, but it feels really good. In fact, it's already a bit warmer than what we expected overall here today. So it feels like football. In fact, after I'm done with the program at 4 o'clock, I go over to Wausau West, do our pregame interview with head coach Matt Johnson for the broadcast tomorrow night. And tomorrow night, I'll have the Wausau West football team against Stevens Point online. BullFallsRadio.com and Sports Stream 2, while Marathon is at Auburndale live here on Sports Fan, on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. But it feels like football. We're getting closer to another weekend football activity. Badgers have a big one on Saturday night, taking on Ohio State, one of the top teams in the country. Can the Badgers make a statement and make a big surprise in the Big Ten? The Packers have a tough one as well on the road. They travel to Tampa Bay on Sunday. And, of course, we have our high school games both Saturday night and the Newman Cardinals on Friday night, Wausau West and Marathon, and then Newman Catholic on Sunday. So, again, your home for the best in high school sports coverage is right here on Bull Falls Radio. I was getting ready for my program and tuned in as I was at my desk listening to Kristen Bry and On Goes Wisconsin. One of the topics, I think it was in the 12 noon hour, she was talking about the Governor Tony Evers, who announced yesterday that he is calling a special legislative session to ask lawmakers to take up a constitutional amendment on abortion, citing comments that Republican U.S. Senator Ron Johnson made last week on wanting to hold a referendum on the issue. Evers says the amendment language he is seeking would allow referendum ballot questions brought by the public. And that, no, it's a more broad base. It's not just an abortion thing. The language is not related to abortion specifically, but driven by the abortion issue. An opportunity where we have right now a state legislature that does not work very often. It does not go into session very often. And I expect that this special legislative session that Governor Tony Evers is announcing will be treated the same way that other special legislative sessions announced by Tony Evers has been treated by Robin Voss and the rest of the GOP leaders in Madison. In fact, the legislative leaders already said no. Governor Evers would rather, I'm quoting here, I'm not saying this is what I say, but quote, Governor Evers would rather push his agenda to have abortion available until birth than talk about his failure to address rising crime and runaway inflation caused by his liberal D.C. allies. I mean, just end quote. Again, the same kind of garbage. You can walk and chew gum at the same time. If the Republicans have these great ideas about addressing crime and runaway inflation, why don't they do something? I mean, I tell you, they are so very good right now at just pointing out and saying, hey, we don't want to do this, want to do that. But I don't know about the idea of bringing statewide referendums all the time. I'm a believer in representative government. I know there's some issues in it. I think that as we talked to John Robinson from the from the Marathon County Board last Friday, and we talked to a member of the Wausau City Council earlier in the week, I don't think folks realize how much paperwork that they have to go through in order to be educated on all these issues. Those of us that vote for these representatives, we're asking them to use their best judgment to make decisions. And I think the frustrating aspect is when you see the state legislature that is not in session all the time and not talking about, not having hearings on some of these issues. That's the biggest problem. I understand the idea of wanting to, hey, if you feel frustrated that the legislature is not taking up some of these big issues, to want to take that shortcut to a referendum. So again, it's one of those situations where I understand the frustration, but at the same time, I just would like to see the system work a little bit better, use the elected representatives that we do have, and have a robust battle of the ideas. And that's what we talk about. That's what we talk about all the time. Number one, intellectual honesty. Number two, battle of the ideas. And let's see what happens, and let's see, make the best decisions for the people in the state of Wisconsin. So I think it's an issue that will come up again and again while some of these issues are hanging out there. But at the same time, if we can just get back to the point where we have hearings, we have discussion, and then we have votes, I think the system will work at its best. Again, coming up, we got a couple of special guests in the next hour. We'll have Nick Ockwig talking about some of the great events going on here in Central Wisconsin. But coming up next, getting set for another great season at the Grand, the Performing Arts Foundation. Talk to the Executive Director, Sean Wright, coming up next. And welcome back. It is the Thursday edition of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. With you until 4 o'clock. Devil's Advocates from 4 till 6. And very happy to welcome into studio for the first time the Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, Sean Wright. And Sean, thank you. I know it's exciting time getting set for the new season, but thank you for coming in and spending a few minutes.
Absolutely. It is an exciting time. We're, the summer seems to get shorter and shorter each year, and our season gets ramped up.
I'm going to talk a little bit about the season, but I was saying off the air, you have been around here for a few years now. I mean, does it feel like yesterday when you first arrived here?
It really does. January of 2015 is when I came to town, and yeah, here we are in, now my eighth season, and there was a slight pause in between for about 17 months that lasted 10 years, it felt like, and but no, it's been a... it's just such a spectacular community for the way they support the arts and the support we have at the Grand, and and not just the Grand, all, whether it's the the CVA or the Woodson Art Museum or all the local groups. I mean, from community theater to School of Ballet, Center Stage, you name it. It is a there are not many communities our size who support the arts the way that this, Wausau community and the greater North Central Wisconsin region does, and so we're very fortunate.
That brings up a question at the top of my head is when you were talking about the incredible amount of artistic groups and people that are truly invested in it here. I imagine in some ways that makes your job easier, but in some ways it makes it harder because there's a people that want to see certain things and they're very passionate about it. And also you have to realize that you want to have the broad-based audience as well. But having some people that are so into it, I imagine that it may be a little bit of a double-edged sword.
Oh, yes. Patrons, we always joke that the arts industry, we always say, we have patrons, sports teams have fans. And I'm like, well, why can't we have fans? They react the same way.
You're like Augusta National with the patrons.
Exactly. We have all those rules as well. But the idea being, we want passionate people. We want people, when they enjoy a show, to tell us how much they enjoy the show, and when they don't enjoy a show, and they do. And that's, it's, I would much rather have that than, have a market where you're trying to draw people out and, or compete. And, I've been in those communities before, so it's you're right, it can be a double-edged sword. There are times where you go, I've been doing this for a few years, trust me on this, but at the same time, it's great to have that passion from people.
Being the executive, before we talk about your first shows coming up here in 2 weeks' time and everything else, but the executive director, what is the role of the executive director of the PAF and Grand Theater?
To spin a million plates at a time, it's obviously, it's the complete, sort of the setting the direction for the organization, overseeing. We've got a fantastic staff, so I sort of turn them loose and let them do what they need to do, and I keep that big picture, but it just means, every day is different. One day is fundraising, one day is you know, looking at marketing or financials, and, you know, and a big part, obviously, in an organization our size is the booking of the season mm-hmm. and the conversations with agents and producers and promoters and everything. And, you know, it used to be that cycle kind of started in September and, you know, usually wrapped up by January or February once you went to some of the big booking conferences. Now you start the new season about this time in September. It'll probably finish about 15 minutes before the brochure goes to press in May. And at the same time, we're adding shows within this season. So you're, you know, the number of times that I have to clarify, are we talking about 22, 23 or 23, 24? And then as soon as, you know, the brochure goes to press and yay, time to roll out the season, I'm already back in. Okay, what can we add on for next year? It's really become a 12-month a year booking cycle. And so, yes, there are times where that, that can consume a lot of my hours.
I can imagine.
But it's obviously a hugely important thing, and not just booking the main stage series, but our arts and education series, our Lift Every Voice series, our 10x10 series. You know, it's in a given year, we're booking anywhere from 50 to 60 programs, plus interfacing with promoters and everything else. And the industry doesn't sleep, I guess is the best way to put it.
Again, we're talking to Sean Wright, the executive director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, here on the program on Bull Falls Radio WXCO. How do you go about, I was looking through your booklet for this year for the, I think, 29 main stage shows,
yes.
I think it is.
Yes.
And how do you go about deciding the balance, the shows in particular? I mean, I imagine that it must be a lot of fun, but it has to be a lot of pressure. What is the process of making the decisions on what you bring in?
You know, I was just talking about this in our board meeting this morning. On some level, it just kind of happens because it has to happen, okay. You obviously have a lot of conversations. I mean, a lot of conversations with agents and, and with fellow colleagues in the industry. Hey, what are you looking at? What's doing well for you? A show that somebody's had previously. How'd you do that? How'd that do for you? What'd you pay for that? all those. So what were they like to deal with? Then you sort of work on a master list and you start with, I think in a given year, I probably start at 100 shows and you look at that list and you go, oh, that person's now out of our price range. Oh, that person's not touring anymore. Or that show's closed. And then you start the process of actually narrowing down and, you need some big Broadway shows, you need some headliner shows, holiday programming people love here. You need a couple of family shows. You want to make sure you have the balance of price points. And so really it's a lot of shows go on, shows go off, shows go back on the list. Right. And, and that's before you even get into, radius clauses, for example, something that's playing the Fox Cities on their Broadway season.
Sure.
We're going to get blocked from that title. All the country festivals around here, some of them play nice, some of them don't with their shows. And so, it's really a process. And then, inevitably at the 11th hour, it's happened both ways where, you think you're done and then, show X is not going to go on the road next year. After all, they're pushing the tour back a year, and suddenly you're going, I have a hole. Or show Y is now looking for a last-minute date. Would you be interested? And that's where my marketing team wants to take me out back and go, are you serious? We've had a whole nother page in the brochure.
No kidding. I've been fortunate where I went to Broadway one long holiday weekend and saw a bunch of shows. Mm-hmm. To be able to have a venue like the Grand here to see those kind of shows, and you have your Broadway series as part of it, it really does give the experience of making that trek to New York, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I mean, we're one of the smallest markets in the country in terms of, routinely having touring Broadway shows in our venue. And because we're a 1,200-seat house, we're also one of the smallest venues itself to host Broadway outside of Broadway. And so it feels like a Broadway house because a lot of people don't realize a lot of those Broadway houses are small. They're not a three. You think, it's a 3,000-4,000 seat. No, that's Radio City Music Hall. the James Earl Jones Theater, the American Airlines Theater, that's 800 seats. And so it's intimate. And in fact, we have some, you know, some folks who live over toward the Fox Cities who they're subscribers to their Broadway series, but then they'll come and see a title maybe for a second or third if they've seen it on Broadway time, because they're like, we love seeing it back in that intimate space that reminds us of when we saw it on Broadway. And so, yeah, we're really fortunate, and people absolutely support the Broadway series, and you know, it's been and we're fortunate in you know, in the fact that my predecessor Jim O'Connell really had the foresight in the Arts Block project to insist that the infrastructure was put in place that we could continue to have Broadway shows, to build truck bays and a large loading dock and all the things people don't think of. They think of that, but you know, in Wisconsin, you can't have a 4-truck show and have one loading dock at street level that you have to take the sets on and off stage. Okay. Here at intermission, you can see the snow blowing in. Oh, wait a minute. That's not part of the script.
Let's talk a little bit about your season gets underway 2 weeks from tomorrow. Doo-Wop Project, yes. Coming Friday, October 7th. The thing, again, looking at the season, it starts on October 7th. You got 6 events in October alone. It so many opportunities. Before talking about the specific shows, it's incredible that you're able to do so many shows, and it only comes because I imagine the support is there. If you don't have the people that support it, it would be a lot thinner schedule, but apparently that the want and the support is there.
Absolutely. And you know, we pre-pandemic, we had seen 6 consecutive years of record ticket sales. You know, obviously, like the entire industry, we were down a little bit last year, but we've definitely seen it rebound, you know, this year. And yes, it's 100% because people come out and buy tickets and support shows and support our fund drive and you know, corporate sponsorship to help underwrite these. It really takes a village. You're right. Otherwise, we would have 15 shows, 16 shows, and there are a lot of venues in the PAC world who have cut back and are instead just relying on renters and promoters to bring in shows. And while we have great relationships and we appreciate the shows they bring in, having a core season is really important to us.
And the variety. I mean, it really is amazing. Again, for us here in central Wisconsin in the Wausau area to have the variety, the different kinds of shows. Really, anybody that loves the arts has something that they're going to really enjoy. Not just something. I think many things they're going to really enjoy.
That's what we always strive for. The idea is that, you know, you may not be a Broadway person. That's fine. But you may like country music, or you might be a dance person, or you really like holiday programming, or, you know, I've got folks who their favorite things, they want to see classic rock tributes because they remind, you know, of artists that they can't see anymore, or, you know, everything. So yeah, when we really look at it, it's how can we bring as much diversity in programming, and then the things that we always like are to throw a show or two at the community to say, you probably have no knowledge of this, but trust us, as we sort of educate you about it, you're going to say, oh wow, that is a phenomenal show, and I can't wait to see it, or I'm so glad I saw it. Those are always the most fun when somebody says.
I agree 100% with that. I think some of the best shows I've ever seen where you came in, you don't have that intimate. So many of the shows people come to because they have an intimate knowledge of it. They know what's going to be happening. Absolutely. They love the songs. They love the story. But to have a show that when you turn at the closing, you know, the curtain closes and you turn to the people around you and say, wow. I mean, there's one show many years ago I saw, and I said to the person, I don't know exactly what happened, but that was incredible.
Exactly. No, there's nothing better than walking into the lobby after a show like that and seeing an artist selling their merchandise. And people who at the beginning of the show you saw who were going, so what is this? Who is this? And you're explaining, who then at the end of the night are lined up in the merchandise line because they want to get a CD, or they want to get a shirt, and they want to get a photo, and they want to get an autograph. And you're like, wow, literally in 90 minutes, we took you from, I don't know what this is, but it's a Friday night, and somebody gave me tickets to, I'm a big fan. I'm going to go buy some merchandise.
I'm going to find out what they've done else. I'm going to find out.
Where else can I see them?
Exactly right. It really is amazing. And I think that's such a great way to look at it, that I imagine that sometimes it's real easy in the meetings to say, you got, you know, selection A, B, and C, and to go with the easy one because, you know, we can get a few more tickets all because of the name value.
Definitely. You know, and the idea is you've got to have those headliners. You want to have those sort of tentpole shows on your season, but then you also want to have those opportunities for people to see something, you know, that hasn't been here or that has been here, but now is different and is evolving and in their career. I mean, one of the things I love the most is when we're writing copy for the brochure and it's like, oh, they're making their Wausau debut, yeah. Making their Wausau debut, or returning to Wausau with an all new show, because we're only doing that if we know that they have a foothold here and that people enjoyed it and it was a very good show. And
I only had you in for one segment, but we have a break that's coming up right here. Can you stick for a few more minutes?
Sure, happy to.
We're going to come back with Sean Wright in just a moment. And welcome back. I'm Chad Holmes on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. With you until 4 o'clock. Again, we'll be joined by Nick Ockwick of the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau later on at 3:15. As today, staying away from the controversy, trying to talk about some of the great things going on here in Central Wisconsin, and back with another segment with the Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, Sean Wright. And Sean, let's delve in a little bit to the new season that's getting underway. Again, the first show will be coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow on Friday, October the 7th with the Doo-Wop Project. Let's talk a little bit about that, since that is the first show, because a great way to start things
off.
It's
a really great way to start things off, and a really fascinating show, because what they essentially do, and all the members have been on Broadway, they've been in shows, big shows, and what they essentially do is they show how doo-wop, you can trace essentially all of music through the roots of doo-wop. Mm. And they demonstrate how, you know, as they say, it started with on a street corner with a bunch of guys singing tight harmonies, and how much of Motown was influenced by doo-wop, and then how much of, you know, the pop that came after that. And essentially, you know, they sort of use the show to take you through music history. Mm. And then for a little fun, toss in the, you know, what if Friends in Low Places was done in the style of doo-wop? Or, you know, what if, Billie Jean was taking all these, famous songs of the 80s, 90s, and today, and, you know, reinventing them doo-wop style. So it's a really fun show, and just super talented artists there. It's actually a show that we've had, you know, we were talking earlier about patrons having opinions. This is the type of show that, you know, was probably on my radar, on our radar as an organization, but I kept having so many patrons say, oh, I saw it in such and such, I've been to Wisconsin multiple times. And so it a perfect, a natural fit to kick off the season.
Absolutely. And again, talk about the talented people, there are so many talented people that the world of acting is such a cutthroat industry, and for folks that keep battling the talent that comes through our area here. I mean, I think people get wowed when they see some of the talent that does come to this Grand Theater stage.
Absolutely. So many of these, the tours that come through, whether it's the Broadway tours or, you know, the shows that have their roots with talented artists with that. I mean, in fact, we've had, and the best thing is we've had local folks. We've had folks who, through the theater program at Stevens Point, one who came back just this May in Anastasia and will actually be back with the Book of Mormon. Mm. We've had others who, one of the leads in Waitress last year was a UW-Madison grad. And so it's very, very cool to see these, talented, incredibly talented men and women who have Wisconsin roots and come back to town. And you know, it gives our Central Wisconsin Jerry Ensemble members, high school students, hope that, hey, one day they can be that that person who comes back to the Grand and performs.
Absolutely. And again, so many talented people that on our university stages here in Central Wisconsin as well, that hopefully can go through the Grand and get to Broadway as well. The first month, I was saying, we got six productions here, six just on your main the one that jumps out, I gotta ask you about, is the Book of Mormon. I said it during our break, it's one of those Broadway smashes. I mean, there are certain shows that just blow up And yeah. that is one that has blown up, and that must be exceptionally exciting. I bet you the energy that you're feeling from the folks that want to see this has got to be through the roof. Yeah,
absolutely. Both nights are basically sold out at this point, and it was fantastic to see the response, the excitement. It was, obviously, it's a 10-time Tony winner, and still one of the biggest grossing shows on Broadway. And, mm-hmm. and now, Phantom of the Opera taking its final bow, I think it'll be the third or fourth longest running show on Broadway, which is amazing because it still feels fresh and yeah. new. And absolutely, to be a part of this sort of second North American tour is a huge thing, and a perfect way to start the season. It's always great when you go into the first month and the Ultimate Queen experience with Mark mm-hmm. Martel and Book of Mormon both sold out, and shows that people are excited about the new season.
How excited do you get when you hear those words sold out?
Oh, they're my favorite words to hear, let me tell you.
You mentioned again the music aspect, and I was going to ask you about the Ultimate Queen celebration, because put an umbrella around it. I mean, I was mentioning to you about Simon and Garfunkel. Yeah. I think you got a Rush tribute project coming up in April as well. Laurie Morgan. I mean, you got a lot of musical acts that come to the Grand.
Absolutely.
How is these shows on the Grand Theater stage maybe different than what people would see elsewhere?
Well, I mean, I think one of it is it's just such an intimate atmosphere, and the acoustics are amazing. Mm-hmm. They don't make buildings like the Grand anymore as we get close.
Which is too bad.
Yeah, as we get close to our 95th birthday. And yeah, so to see them here, and I think one of the things that I notice all the time is we have such great audiences here mm-hmm. that people just sit back and enjoy the music. That I hear feedback from artists all the time saying, wow, your crowds are just... they're so into the show. They're like, it takes us a minute. We're used to, where you look in the audience and half the people are on their phone or they're walking out to the bar, and they're like, the people here are just there. They paid their money and they want to hear us play our music. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's really gratifying. You don't get that as much these days. And so, yeah, you put all those things together and, it turns into a really fantastic atmosphere for a show.
What do you like as a person? I mean, I imagine sometimes it must be a little bit difficult you got to look at it with the big picture and bottom line and also audiences. But if you had that moment where you said, Sean Wright, what are the shows that really grab you?
I mean, we would be paying Jason Isbell in the 400 unit, whatever it takes to play a 1,200 seat venue. I know you normally play 4,000 and above, but that's okay. We'll make it work. Just, come here. You too? Are you looking for an acoustic tour maybe to historic theaters? Could we...
go back to the roots.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure you played venues like that. So, yeah. It is a balance, and of course, I feel like you do this long enough, and you sort of separate where, when a show is in your venue, you're focused on the experience of the audience and right. your patrons, your fans, and you want them to enjoy it. When I get to an opportunity to enjoy a show, it's going into somebody else's building. And mm-hmm. and I try not to focus on all the operational things and just try to say like, I get to be a patron right. here. So, there are definitely shows that, sure, I might go into the night going, this one isn't, it's not my favorite. But by the end of the night, between the reaction of the audience, my crew having a great night with the artist and the artist having an incredible experience, I walk out going, what a great night. Love that show. Even though it might not have, going into it, been on the top of my list.
Fantastic. Again, we're talking to Sean Wright, the Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, here on the program on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com and mobile devices by searching WXCO. I was saying to you as well that in the break, when I went to Broadway, it blew me away in the fact that you have these Broadway shows, and I'm just looking at your Broadway series going into this season. We touched on a great way to start off with the Book of Mormon, $1 Million Quartet Christmas, part of your big Christmas November and December coming up, Hairspray Chicago, Midtown Men. When you look at your Broadway series, the shows that come from Broadway, mm-hmm. how do you pick these shows out? Because there's so much great stuff that goes through Broadway. When you pick these shows as your Broadway series, what goes into the thought process?
Yeah, it's a lot of dialogue with agents and producers, and the thing with Broadway is, you sometimes start these conversations 2-3 years before something becomes a reality. I mean, Chicago was a perfect example. I think Chicago was originally supposed to be on our 2020-2021 season that didn't happen. And then in talking, you know, with the producers, they said, you know, we're going to do the 25th season. It'll be the 25th season in 22-23. Why don't you jump on that? You know, that'll give you a little bit of a buzz and a hook, and we're going to get freshen up all the marketing materials and all those things. And so that was one where we made a conscious decision not to put it on last season and to sort of push it back a season. And so, you know, it's a focus on, first and foremost, is it a good show? I mean, really, at the end of the day, that's the biggest thing, because you're right. There's a lot of product out there. A lot of it is very good. Not all of it is very good. And so those are the times where you have to, you know, sometimes it's seeing the show in person. Sometimes it's having a conversation with somebody else who's had the show. Like, you know, what'd you think? How was the production? How was it to deal with? And then there's a cost factor as well.
Right.
You know, there have been some Broadway shows that we would have loved to have had, but the cost was just prohibitive and we couldn't price the tickets in a manner that was suitable for our market, or our theater is a wonderful theater, but the footprint is still a little smaller than some others. And so there are some shows, you know, for example, the In the Round Oklahoma revival that was Tony nominated, it just wouldn't work in our space. Right. It just there's just no way to put people on stage there with a stage and everything else. So yeah, it's a you know, it's a little bit of everything, and then it's just about actually making the deal work. And it's about, what shows are coming this way.
You talked a number of times here about the financial aspects. Yeah. And as the executive director going through that pandemic the last couple of years, and in fact, this is the first, quote, normal, end quote, season you've had in a few years. How difficult has the financial hit been the last few years? How good a shape are you in right now?
Yeah, you know, obviously 2020 was not good. We were fortunate. We had a great run of success going into it, so we had some, you know, reserves built up. We also had some capital projects that we were planning to use those reserves on. But we were fortunate for a number of ways. First and foremost, the community stepped up. You know, we started the Ghost Light Fund that had a $600,000 goal, and we, raised over 700,000. So that tells you about the support of the community.
That must make your heart just explode.
It was. 1,120 folks who donated, the most, our most donors ever. We were fortunate after a lot of lobbying as part of the industry to get money through the Shuttered Venue Operators Grant. And then, you know, the state of Wisconsin was very generous to the live event entertainment industry and the arts and culture industry in terms of funneling some CARES monies to us. So, you know, the long answer to it, to a clear question, is we're actually in a very good financial situation, all things considered, out of the last couple of years. And it's, it's just because, first and foremost, the support of the community and folks buying tickets last year, because even in a down year, we sold north of $1 million in tickets, and we couldn't do it without the community.
If folks are interested in taking a complete look at the 29 productions you have set up here for this 2022-2023 season, want to maybe buy some tickets, what's the best way for them to find out?
Absolutely. Easiest way to find everything is at grandtheater.org. It's got the season. It's got we've got great shows from some rental promoters coming in. That's got all of our local productions, wonderful shows from our local artists, and it seems we're adding shows.
People can't forget about those local shows either. I mean, the talent around here, and again, an opportunity. Any chance you get to see anything in your complex at the Grand? I mean, there's so many wonderful aspects to it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, Wausau Community Theater just opened their season with The Descendants, which was a fantastic show for the whole family. Our friends at Center Stage are in this week for their free show. School of Ballet, it's their, amazingly, the 20th anniversary of Thriller. So I know Patrick's kind of going all out for that here next month as we get into the holiday or the Halloween season. So, yeah, that's the, you know, there's so many opportunities, and that's before we even get into our arts and education series where kids come, or our 10x10 series for emerging artists. We are not lacking for performances and right. talent in our building, which is a good thing.
And a good thing is that means we got so many other things to talk about. So
absolutely.
Hopefully bring you in every couple of weeks and talk about some of the great shows that are going on. And also, again, some of those other aspects I think that people really should know about here in the Wausau and Central Wisconsin area. So, boy, I mean, again, I thought you were just going to be here for one segment, but there's so much to talk about. I got to keep them on here instead of letting people hear me babble on for another 15 minutes. But, Sean, I really appreciate you coming on in. It was a lot of fun, and I'm going to try to set things up, and hopefully be back in a couple of weeks, as in 2 weeks' time, you have that first big show.
2 weeks' time, we are up and running. So, yeah, thanks for having me, and we'll do it again.
Absolutely. Sean Wright, again, from the Performing Arts Foundation, the executive director, and also the executive director of the Grand Theater. We have to take a break. We're going to come back here in just a couple of moments. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks again to Sean Wright, Executive Director of the Performing Arts Foundation and the Grand Theater, joining us. We'll get Sean on plenty during the course of a very busy 2022-2023 season at the Grand. And again, and I think you got to sort of talk about, again, how lucky we are to have a venue like the Grand Theater, how lucky we are to have some of these shows that are coming in. So many, I mean, 29, and I was looking at the list, and there's so many that would love to be in the crowd at the Grand. Love those Broadway shows, love those musical-based acts. Again, check them out. Buy some tickets, support the arts here in Central Wisconsin, and really one of the aspects that makes Central Wisconsin a fantastic place to live. And we'll find out more in the next hour at about 3:15. We'll be joined by Nick Ockwake from the Wausau Central Wisconsin Convention and Visitors Bureau, the Sports Authority, the Badger State Winter and Summer Games. Talk about some interesting activities going on this weekend in Wausau and the Central Wisconsin area. So Nick coming up at 3:15. Well, Milwaukee Brewers back in action tonight. Brew Crew shut out the Mets yesterday, 6-0. However, Philadelphia also won. The Padres also won. So the Brewers did not pick up anything in terms of the wild card race. Milwaukee still 2.5 games behind the Philadelphia Phillies in the battle for the third and final wild card. Philadelphia snapped a 5-game losing streak last night, beating Toronto. When Philly lost, the Brewers lost. Brewers had lost 3 in a row before yesterday. The Phils had lost 5 in a row. The Brewers had some opportunities to pick up ground on Philadelphia, but unable to do so. And then when the Brewers win yesterday afternoon, last night it's Philadelphia getting the W. So it's a case right now where time is running out. The sand is coming out of the hourglass for the Brewers, and they basically are in a must-win situation. They're going to have to win at a very, very high clip here in the final couple of weeks of the regular season, starting with a 4-game series against the lowly Cincinnati Reds tonight. Brewers, 4-game set against Cincy. You'd love to get all 4. You're getting to the point where time is so short, even 3 out of 4 probably won't be enough. You can't assume that the Phils, or especially San Diego, are going to be swept this weekend. You got to pick up a game, maybe even 2 games. It'd be great to pick up 2. If you pick up a game, okay, then you're 1.5 games behind Philadelphia going into next week. But again, the Brewers have to find a way. They're 3 back in the loss column. They got to find a way to not only be tied with Philadelphia at the end of the season, but actually be 1 game ahead, because the Brewers don't have the tiebreaker. This year in Major League Baseball, there is not a game 163 for ties. They are using a tiebreaker system like the other major sports do. And the tiebreaker is who won more games during the head-to-head matchups in the regular season. Unfortunately, the Brewers did not do it against either Philadelphia or San Diego, so the Brewers have to finish ahead of those one, at least one of those teams, in order to get a spot in the playoffs. So, again, big series starting tonight for the Crew in Cincinnati. Also, again, don't forget, tomorrow we got ourselves a high school football doubleheader. This time of year, when I start feeling that little bit of coolness out there, sunny and cool, it's perfect. You know, it really feels good out there. It feels like football weather, and tomorrow we have two games, and in fact, three games on the weekend. We will have the Marathon Red Raiders taking on the undefeated Auburndale Eagles. Downtown Ollie Burroughs will have the call of that one, starting with the pregame show at 6:30 and the opening kickoff at 7 p.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230 WXCO, BowFallsRadio.com, and mobile devices by searching WXCO. Meantime, I will be with the Wausau West football team tomorrow night. The Wausau West Warriors will take on the Stevens Point Panthers. West looking to bounce back from a tough loss last week, 28-24 to Marshfield, first loss of the season, but the Warriors still 4-1 overall, 2-1 in the Valley Football Association. But to keep their conference championship hopes alive, they need a W at Spash. Coverage will begin at 6:40 and the kickoff at 7 o'clock. You can hear the game live online only. Again, if you want to hear West at Stevens Point online, go to BowFallsRadio.com, click on Sports Stream 2, and you can hear me live. And also, that game will broadcast on tape delay following the Marathon Auburndale game here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And Saturday, the undefeated, number one ranked defending state champion Newman Catholic Cardinals. Cards will be in action, taking on Almond Bancroft from Balliet Field at Newman Catholic. I'll have the call starting with the pregame show at 12:40 and the opening kickoff at 1 p.m. right here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9, 1230, online, mobile devices, Alexa, WXCO. You know the drill, right? You know the drill. So a busy weekend football-wise. And, of course, Badgers, a big one Saturday night, taking on the Ohio State Buckeyes. And you'll forget that game against Washington State very quickly if you're a Wisconsin football fan, if you get a W against Ohio State. It's been more than a decade since the Badgers have defeated the Buckeyes. Time for that to change, right? And I think Paul Chris could use a major win like that to get a few of the folks off his back. So it's going to be tough. It's really going to be tough. But the Badgers 2-1 on the young season. Ohio State undefeated, ranked number 3 in the country. Game at the Horseshoe in Columbus on Saturday night. And also, again, a tough one for the Pack. Packers 1-1. They travel to Tampa Bay coming up on Sunday. Packers and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mike Evans, the outstanding receiver for Tampa Bay, suspended for this week. So a break for the Pack as they try to get over 500 for the first time this season. So much going on. And again, don't spend all your time sitting down in front of a TV. Go to a local high school game Friday or Saturday. Go out, and there's a lot of events. And I was looking at a list here, and I'm going to talk to Nick Ockwig about in about 15 minutes or so. A lot of great events going on throughout Central Wisconsin. We're going to go through that list. So get a piece of paper, write some of these down when I talk to Nick at 3:15, because we're going to talk about a lot of interesting, and again, actually calling them sometimes even a little bit strange activities. But hey, time to step out of the comfort zone a little bit and really explore Central Wisconsin, especially this time of year. There's a lot of great outdoor Halloween activities, corn mazes we're going to talk about. It's great ways to be outside with the kids and the family. So looking forward to talking to Nick Ockwig about that coming up in just a few minutes. Coming up, we will have CBS News at the top of the hour. I'll be back. We're going to talk a little political. Again, we're spending a lot of time today talking about some of the great things going on here in Central Wisconsin, but going to talk again about this campaign being run by Senator Ron Johnson and his advocates in the National Republican Party. Starting to get some pushback, and I think it's about time, because this is really a dog whistle campaign that Ron Johnson is pulling off, and I think it's time to push back a little bit. I've been talking about that this week. You can't just sit back and let Ron Johnson define what this campaign is all about. If you're Mandela Barnes and his allies, you got to start pushing back, and there's been a little pushback. We're going to talk about that coming up in a whole bunch more in the next hour. Again, I'm Chad Holmes with you each weekday from 2 until 4 p.m. here for the Chad Holmes Show. From 4 to 6, it will be the Devil's Advocates with Mike Root, so stick around for that. But top of the hour news coming up next here on The Chad Holmes Show, Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, and mobile devices and Alexa.